Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
European Union energy ministers have agreed a gas price cap. The Czech army is due to receive the first of 15 older Leopard tanks from Germany, and icy roads have been causing traffic problems and delays around Czechia. European Union energy ministers on Monday agreed a gas price cap after weeks of talks on the emergency measure that has split opinion across the bloc. The cap is the EU's latest attempt to protect consumers from soaring energy bills after Russia cut off most of its gas deliveries to Europe. Ministers agreed to trigger a cap if prices exceeded 180 euros per megawatt hour for 3 days on the Dutch title transfer facility gas hub's front month contract, which serves as the European benchmark for natural gas prices. And the price is 35 euros higher than a reference price for liquid natural gas on global markets for the same period. The measure will apply from the 15th of February. When applied, it will set a dynamic bidding limit on natural gas futures transactions for 20 working days. The agreement received backing from all EU member states, with only Austria and the Netherlands abstaining and Hungary voting against. According to Czech Industry Minister Josef Síkela, whose country holds the rotating EU presidency, the agreement was the hardest to negotiate to date. The Czech army is due to receive the first of 15 older Leopard 2A4 tanks from Germany on Tuesday to make up for those with Czechia sent to Ukraine to boost the country's defence capability. According to the Czech Defence Ministry, the remaining 14 tanks should arrive in Czechia next year. German assistance in replacing the equipment donated to Ukraine was agreed in early May by Prime Minister Petr Fiala and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. The two countries are also negotiating the purchase of up to 50 more state-of-the-art Leopard tanks, which the Czech Republic would acquire in the coming years. The last ministerial meeting held under the Czech EU presidency will take place in Brussels on Tuesday. The meeting of EU environment ministers, to be chaired by Czech Deputy Prime Minister Marian Jurečka, will focus on the restoration of natural ecosystems. Jurečka will symbolically hand over the presidency to Sweden after Czechia's six-month stint at the helm of the EU, during which time it completed negotiations on a number of proposals from the EU climate package. Among other things, MEPs have agreed on a major restriction on the sale of new cars with conventional combustion engines from 2035 and a reform of the emissions trading market. Demolition work on a former pig farm at Leti in South Bohemia, built on the site of a concentration camp for Romanis during the Second World War, has been completed. The news was announced on Tuesday by the Museum of Romani Culture, which is planning to build a memorial to the Romanis and Sinti who lost their lives there. The Czech state purchased the pig farm in 2018, following years of discussions on the subject. Icy roads have been causing traffic problems and delays around Czechia since Monday evening. The D6 highway to Karlovy Vary was closed in both directions for several hours during the night following several pile-ups in which 40 people were injured. A heightened number of accidents are reported from all parts of the country, with many bus connections delayed or cancelled. Ambulances in Prague have responded to calls from dozens of pedestrians who slipped and injured themselves on the ice. Meteorologists have warned that Wednesday is expected to bring similar conditions and have urged drivers and pedestrians to exercise extreme caution. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Wednesday should be partly cloudy to overcast, with occasional rain showers and day temperatures ranging between 2 and 6 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news.
Hello listeners, and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Anna Fodor, and this is what we've got coming up in today's programme. As Czechia's time at the helm of the EU presidency draws to a close, we speak to a pundit about its highs and lows. We bring you a story from Prague about electric charging points being installed into smart street lamps. And we speak to Yemi AD on being Czechia's and Nigeria's first space tourist.
It still feels very surreal, but I'm just really feeling blessed for having this chance and proud and grateful at the same time.
All that coming up, so please stay with us. Czechia's six-month presidency of the European Union is slowly drawing to a close. Petr Fiala's cabinet took over the role at a challenging moment, with Russia still waging war against Ukraine and energy prices rocketing. So what have been the main achievements of the Czech presidency? That's a question Ian Willoughby put to Filip Nerad, head of the International News Department at Czech Radio.
I would say generally it was keeping EU united during these very difficult times, because you have still Russian aggression on Ukraine, energy crisis, and EU discuss a lot of measures how to deal with these things. And even though there were some problems, some disagreements, in the end, Czech presidency reached an agreement and kept the EU united. And from this general point of view, I think that was the biggest achievement.
Was there anything or any area where you felt that they could have done better, that they may regret the way things went?
I think definitely in the communication and in a way how to sell the EU presidency to Czechs. I think that was the weakest point of this EU presidency, because they done a good job on the EU level, and from the European point of view, they did very well. But from the Czech point of view, I think many Czechs even don't know that there is any EU presidency. The only visible events were these two summits at the beginning of October here in Prague. But otherwise, you can't hear about these successes of presidency.
The legacy of the last Czech EU presidency in 2009 was the Eastern Partnership. Is there anything from the current soon-to-end presidency that will remain after it has ended?
Yeah, we have a European project called European Political Community, which started here in Prague at the beginning of October. And I think that will be this legacy, because it seems the participant countries are willing to go on. So hopefully that will be this legacy that we will see after years.
The government was installed roughly 6 months before the EU presidency began. Several of the cabinet members were not very experienced. Which cabinet members for you have performed particularly well during the presidency?
I would name Minister Sikela, because he was unknown person, almost unknown person. He was a bank manager, but almost no one knew him before he entered this government, and he had to run many energy ministers' meetings. If I counted correctly, there were some 9 meetings, including 4 or 5 extraordinary meetings to react on the energy crisis. And what I heard from diplomats, he was very active. He was calling on all sides, dealing, sending messages to his counterparts in other countries, and trying to reach compromises.
My final question is, do you have any sense that the Czech presidency of the EU Council over the last 6 months has impacted the international image of the country at all?
Definitely, and I would say in a positive way, because, you know, in the recent years, Czech Republic was seen as a part of a V4, as a kind of EU troublemaker, which normally say only, no, we disagree and bring no solution. Now it changed. It was Czech Republic's Czech diplomats who brought these solutions, who came with compromises, how to reach agreements. And I think the EU partners saw that even Czech Republic can be a reliable partner who can bring positive things. And it's good for Czech Republic to have this position. Now the goal should be to keep it and not to waste it. Because if we return back to only criticism and neglecting things, it can bring us back to this EU troublemakers role. And I think it's not what should be the aim of our government and of the Czech Republic.
The number of electric vehicles in Czechia is growing, and according to official estimates, their number could reach 100,000 by 2030, and most of these will be in the capital city. Prague has therefore decided to increase the number of charging stations available. Drivers will find them, among other places, in the smart lampposts lining the streets of Prague's Vinohrady district, as Daniela Lazarová reports.
The electric chargers are built into selected city lamps to prevent new installations cramming sidewalks. Drivers should look for a black box with cables and pictograms explaining how to use the station. Most of the stations allow two vehicles to be charged at the same time, and a total of 13 new chargers have now been installed in Prague's Vinohrady district. Until the end of the year, Prague residents can charge their cars for free without registration. They just need to connect the cable. As of next year, it will be possible to charge in two ways. The first is a one-time recharge without registration via a QR code. The second is via registration, where drivers get a recharge chip. Tomáš Jílek, chairman of the board of directors of Prague Technologies, explains.
Prostřednictvím tedy registrace na tom portálu.
Via registration, there is an invoice billing, and you can choose the payment method you prefer. The advantage of being a registered customer means a lower price when charging, and also affordable customer service.
Také dostupné nějaké zákaznické služby.
Drivers will now find charging stations not only in Moravská Street, but also in Koruní, Chodská, Kladská and Slezská. In the coming year, they will be installed in other Prague districts as well. Meanwhile, efforts to create a dense and reliable charging network around the country continue, with the three largest operators, ČEZ, Pražská Energetika and E.ON, which account for about two-thirds of the domestic network, currently reporting a total of 1,266 charging stations, with a total of 2,462 charging points. Statistics from the Transport Research Center show that the number of stations has been steadily increasing at a rate of about 300 per year for the last 3 years. Compared to 2020, the number of chargers for electric vehicles is now almost double. The fact that the share of electric vehicles in relation to conventional cars is still low in this country presently works in favor of those drivers who own electric cars. According to ČEZ Group, there are 22 charging stations per 100 electric vehicles in the Czech Republic, while the EU average is 15. The share of fast and ultra-fast charging stations in Czechia is 57% compared to the European average of 9%. Drivers are also benefiting from more convenient ways of payment in electromobility, where it is no longer necessary to have several different chips to draw energy from each supplier separately, as was the case until recently. For example, the Axigon Purchasing Alliance provides an Energo card accepted domestically at ČEZ, Pražská Energetika and E.ON charging stations, and simultaneously in the Smatrix network in Austria, ENBW in Germany and IONITY throughout Europe.
Moving on now from electric cars to spaceships, Ruth Franková brings you today's feature about the man soon to become Czechia's first space tourist.
Czech artist Jemi Ajinkemidele, professionally known as Jemi AD, is one of 8 people selected to join Japanese billionaire Yusaku Maezawa on a trip around the moon on board Elon Musk's SpaceX rocket next year. The dancer and choreographer with Nigerian roots who has worked with Madonna or Kanye West was handpicked from more than a million candidates. I caught up with him shortly after the news was announced to discuss what it feels like to be Czechia's first space tourist and started by asking him how he got involved in the project.
Actually, I found out from a friend of mine, Peter Wagner, who is a great cinematographer, and he showed me an article where Yuseko Maezova is announcing that he wants to bring artists to the moon. Back then, it was about 3 years ago, I was really intrigued. I was just working on some campaign, and I was like, ah, this is beautiful. It's always been my child's dream, but I didn't dare to dream I could make it. But then I got a scholarship in the USA and started to actually attend Henry Crown Fellowship. It's a part of Aspen Institute. And because each of the 20 classmates, we are supposed to create a venture that is going to advance society in some way. And I told my classmates that I would like to fly to the moon and that I would like to use the attention and the promotion and also the experience to create art that would then help to advance society in some way. And they told me, wow, this is so great. And they supported me. And only with their support and with their encouragement, I was like, okay, this doesn't seem irrelevant. And I could actually get back to my childhood dream and apply.
So can you take us through the selection procedure? What did it look like?
So in the beginning, when I found out about this chance, the round for public to be able to apply and submit was not opened. So for maybe half a year or maybe over half a year, I was just like searching, like, how can I actually let them know I want to do it? But then when they announced the open call, I just first answered some questions and submitted it. And I went, you know, from one round to another. It was over 10 different rounds. And also I had to submit my artwork. And then there would be different interviews, you know, over Zoom and so on. And it really was a long process. So I created two projects along the way. And I know that even if I didn't get there, I would still appreciate this time of me trying to get it. Because the mission of MZ is just one of my dreams come true. He is asking artists to have impact. And this is what I always wanted to do. I always was looking for different paths, how my art and creativity could make life of other people better.
Did you have to meet any special requirements? Did you have to go through any physical checks to prove that you really can fly to space?
Yes, it was definitely the biggest and longest series of medical checkups I've ever went through. So it was very extensive. And the good thing is that I know I am perfectly healthy and that I can actually fly to the space.
Did you actually meet Mr. Maezova or MZ during the process in person? And if you did, what was he like?
Yes, I met him during the process for like a live interview. And I was really positively surprised because I've worked with different celebrities or people with substantial wealth. And it's not always the case that they have this lightness of being, you know, with them. And that's exactly who he is. He's very joyful and it's a dreamer. And the exchange and the conversation was super nice. It was pleasant. And that's when I started to even more be looking forward to us spend more time together. He also loves to make fun, to have fun and to create new friendships and also to learn. I could see he's eager to learn, you know, about each of us and also about our art and our creative process.
What do you think persuaded Mr. Maezova to choose you out of more than a million people?
Wow, this is a really, really difficult question because I think it should be him answering it. I hope it was my art. I'm really, you know, enthusiastic to create on different media. It's not just the choreography and dance and movement, but all different kinds of artwork from theater to digital art. So I wish to hope that they fell in love with the choreography and videos that I submitted. But I also believe that my life journey and some kind of consistency of me working with young people and in educational space also matters because I've done this work maybe past 20 years. I work with kids with handicap. I work with young people. I started different projects in Nigeria, scholarships for young dancers In India, we were helping to fundraise money for kids with impaired hearing sense and so much more. Also, my brother has a Down syndrome, which allow me to be close to kids with different types of needs. And I just enjoy it as much as I enjoy creating. So I think that also was probably an element.
In the short video in which you presented yourself, you also highlighted your Czech-Nigerian background and the fact that you come from a small North Bohemian town of Liberec. So what role does your background play in your work? How important is it for you?
Well, it is very important because I am someone called third culture kid. I don't really have the culture of my mom, and I also don't have a culture of my dad. When I go to Nigeria, and nobody believes that I'm Nigerian. When I'm in Czech, nobody believes that I'm Czech. So in life of kids like me, there is always a moment of some kind of a identity crisis where we really need to kind of stand for ourselves because it's not given. It's not like someone assign you with your identity right from the start. It's like you kind of have to find it and you have to be okay with people discouraging it, questioning it, doubting it. And this kind of creates certain resilience, and also it has impact in not only who you are, but what do you create. So I was always very proud to have this mixture of having a Slavic origin as well as Nigerian. And I try to project that in my art, but not just to recycle traditional moves or other artists, but think about what it means.
The mission to the moon is scheduled to take place sometime next year. What will you do in the meantime? What will the preparations look like?
I'm really excited to work on my body and on my skills. And I also am a fan of all kind of sci-fi, and I can't wait to also do the professional training and understand every part of the ship and so on. But I also look forward to start collaborating with other crew members. I think the best thing about this mission, besides the fact we will fly to the moon, is who we are flying with. And besides MZ, we have a great group of people, from musicians to actors, singers, photographers, filmmakers. And I'm really curious because this is such an unusual group of people. So I'm really looking forward to start creating something together. So I don't know every detail of what's ahead of me, but I know that it will be challenging. But I think it's the type of challenge that will also make my life better because I will be able to focus and put my well-being, you know, on the same or even higher level in my life of priority as I used to do for my work.
So what does it feel like being the first space tourist from Czechia?
Well, I'm very proud and I feel it's such a privilege to be representing a country that had a person in the space over 40 years ago. And it's also a great privilege to do that for Nigerians. I feel like if there is one reason why this mission makes sense for me, it would be to show and make young people understand that it doesn't really matter where you are born or how much money you have or what's your gender or what's your sexual orientation, that only thing that matters is if you are creative and if you're willing to put work in. And if you do that, no matter where you're from, you can wish for the best and you can get it.
Finally, how do you feel at the moment? Are you afraid? Are you excited? Or is it a mix of different feelings?
It's a multi-layered and multifaceted emotional storm. It still feels very surreal, but I'm just really feeling blessed for having this chance and proud and grateful at the same time. Fear is definitely a part of it. I would lie if I say that I don't fear. In my life, I always used to take risks, and I believe that the reason why I got where I got is because I was willing to take risks. But I think these are the risks that are worth taking. I believe that this mission makes so much sense. I understand that there is some part of society who feels like, why do we need this if there is so much struggle in the world? For me, I believe that space exploration is not really about looking up, but about looking in. This is the first time ever we will hear in very different language, language of artists, and they will describe, we will describe what we felt, what kind of inspiration was ignited by seeing the Earth. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I think this is very meaningful. So let's hope I will be ready, and let's hope that it will bring the inspiration that we all hope for.
And that was Czech-Nigerian dancer Yemi AD speaking to my colleague Ruth Frankova. I'm afraid that's all we have time for today here on Radio Prague International, but if you want more, you can find the entire Radio Prague archive, as well as photos, articles and videos on our website, www.radio.cz. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Once again, this is Anna Fodor, saying thanks for listening and have a lovely rest of your day.